Gators Breakdown, because there's never a dull moment in Gator Nation.
The Gators Breakdown podcast is ready to go. I'm your host, David Waters. You can find me on social media at GatorDave_SEC, and we are here to talk about the first scrimmage for the Gators this spring, 2024 season coming up. First time the Gators have been in Ben Hill Griffin Stadium in a scrimmage setting for this spring. So lots to get into. Of course, we'll hear from Billy Napier, and we'll get some intel, some updates from the scrimmage itself. More will probably filter out throughout the next couple days. So, of course, stay tuned to Gators Breakdown. We'll update it as it is, but there's plenty to get into after this first scrimmage. So we'll get into some quarterback play, some other standouts, some other positions, of course, as well, but plenty to get into on the heels of this first scrimmage. So before we get there, like, subscribe right here on YouTube. Subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. But hey, look, really helps us out here on this YouTube. All those likes, it goes a long way in sharing Gators Breakdown with everybody else out there. Leave comments. That helps too. All your support doing those things right here on the YouTube version really, really helps Gators Breakdown grow. And look, if you want to support even more, support what we do right here on Gators Breakdown. Gators Breakdown Plus is another thing to do to help us out, because in the description, but you get something out of it as well. You get access to the Discord chat, you know, the message board chat style that we do there, ad-free episodes of Gators Breakdown. If you're getting tired of the ads, extra episodes, chat episodes, chats that we hold there. Much more, you know, starts at $3 a month. If you want to help support what we do right here on Gators Breakdown, that is a way to do so. So, all right, let's get to it. Let's get right to it. And we'll hear from Billy Napier right after the first scrimmage of this spring on Saturday.
You know, I think in spring ball, when you get to practice 6, 7, and 8, you know, you find out what type of team you have. And I told the staff, and find out what type of staff we had. And I think we made progress this week. You think about today, we're kind of at the halfway point. Scrimmage number one, first time we've tackled. First time we've kind of managed the in-game situation piece as the players. And I think it's really reflected what I've seen for the first seven. You know, I think practice has been very competitive. You know, I think we've got a group of veteran players that are doing a good job, kind of set the tone and being a really good example. And then I see the young players, some of which were here last year and some of which we just got here, continue to make progress. So, you know, I do think that I've been pleased with what I see. I do think that the next 2 weeks are going to be critical. You know, and I think that's the big takeaway with the players today walking off the field was, we're halfway, and it's important that we have a great focus over the next 2 weeks. So critical 2 weeks to come. We've got to get really specific about the areas where we need to improve. You know, we'll present plans to the players individually, the position groups, the units, and the entire team. We only get to get on the grass with the players so many times, right, especially with pads on. So process, from a process standpoint, from a fundamental standpoint, right? I think each individual player is in a little bit different place. And part of coaching is getting someone from point A to point B. And even though we may have some veteran players, they're all still growing and developing. There's still things to learn, right? So at this point, we try to get really specific with each player. So we'll take tomorrow and Monday, and we'll basically evaluate each player individually and say, okay, hey, let's give this guy some direction over the next 2 weeks, narrow the focus, and then we back up. Each position coach will think about his group as a whole, and then the units, you know, we'll get together offensively, defensively, the special teams group, and think about, okay, hey, because most of your concepts are built at this point. You know, you got probably 80% of the installations in. Now you get specific with fundamentals, special situations, maybe position flexibility, right? Moving guys around. I thought today it was much like 1 through 7. It was competitive. You know, there's bright spots in all parts. And I thought we made plays on defense. I thought we had great energy. We tackled well today. Thought in the secondary in particular, we tackled well. We made the offense turn the ball over. There's, you know, the offense had a couple turnovers in the red area. pretty clean for the most part. There was a few penalties I would say I was disappointed with, but overall it was back and forth. I would say defense probably got the best of the offense today, but there were bright spots on both sides. I thought the kicking game was really good. Thought we got good competitive work in all six phases of the team.
There you go. There's Billy Napier after the first scrimmage, and sounds okay, pretty positive, and you can definitely tell this was a really sticking point where Florida is in the process of spring practice, about halfway through, get this first scrimmage in, and hey, look, for these players, I think Billy Napier didn't come out and say this, but the way I took it was, you know what? You got to start separating yourself. These next 2 weeks are going to be crucial for, we all know we can't hide behind it. Transfer portal's coming up. I'm sure Florida will have some guys leave. They'll be in the market to bring some guys in, I'm sure. And the next couple of weeks may go a long way in depending who feels like they may not have a future at Florida and leave some roster holes Florida will need to fill or want to fill coming up. So these next couple of weeks are, I think, important for the team, important for players and their future and what they want to do. So yeah, you hope every guy takes it as serious as they can. And the next couple of weeks are, you know, guys take it that, okay, this is where I need to make my stride. There's a lot of position battles, you know, out there. And these next 2 weeks sound like they're the most important in separating yourself for where you want to be on this team, maybe your future of college football, especially heading into fall. You know, where do you want to be on this team? So all in all, it sounded like a pretty good day. You know, Napier's saying pretty much what they have seen in the first half of spring practice. And in a lot of ways, that's good. Everything that you're teaching, developing this first half of spring practice, you know, seeing it come to fruition in a spring setting, probably pretty good there for Billy Napier. So, all right, let's keep it going. Shared all I could from Florida and Billy Napier, what they had to say. So I had to read the rest along the way. But Billy Napier did also talk in particular here on some players. Let's start at the quarterback position, of course, on Graham Mertz. Billy Napier goes on to say, I think Graham, look, he's in year two. He's starting. Think about what Graham did last year, right? Moved to a different country, learned a new language, essentially. Talking about transfer from Wisconsin to Florida, a new group of people. So Graham starts with a leadership presence and credibility. He starts in January. Essentially, this is his team to some degree, and I think that's probably the big takeaway. He has a voice and a presence for the month of January, February, and March. Now we're in the football piece where that's even more impactful because he's communicating with the players each day. I mean, I think Graham has earned the respect of his teammates with the way he prepares. This guy lives in the building, very process-oriented. He's maximizing all parts of his day, and he's an example. We talked about the quarterback kind of being the standard bearer of the entire organization. Think about teams. Typically, the quarterback sets the pace. He's done that. We are trying to get Graham to be more aggressive without being careless. I think the narrative on him coming in, obviously everybody talked about the interception at Wisconsin and all that. He proved he could play clean ball last year. And then I think now it's about trying to improve the calculated risk. Let's try to be aggressive and manage the game and eliminate careless play. But let's try to go create more explosives and distribute the ball. Be the point guard and push the ball down the court. That's music to our ears. I think that's pretty much the first time Billy Napier has really dove in to what he wants to see from Graham Mertz. And guys, you know, I asked Billy Napier about it as the season was winding down last year. I asked Graham Mertz about it when he was on the podcast a couple months ago. And we all have been talking about it on social media, Gators Breakdown Plus. I know you all have been out there talking about it. The next step for Graham Mertz in this offense, yeah, you lose your best weapon in Ricky Pearsall, but you still have to find the way to push the ball down the field. That is the next step. That is the next step for this Gator offense. Of course, receivers are going to come into that. Offensive line play, which we'll get into in just a second, will come into that as well. Billy Napier's basically saying, hey, the pocket's been clean. And look, that was part of the issue last year. It wasn't all Graham Mertz, but you hear Billy Napier discussing, hey, some of that is Graham Mertz. Get him to take the calculated risk. It was a point of emphasis last year to take care of the football. Coming from Wisconsin, where he threw a lot of interceptions, Billy Napier not going to have that. All right, you focused on that. That improved. Graham Mertz improved so much in taking care of the football. Some of that was being maybe too careful with the ball. So now there's calculated risk. And the point of emphasis, we knew it would be this coming in. We've all talked about it, but I knew firsthand it was going to be a point of emphasis this spring. You just heard Billy Napier spill it all out there. We want him to take those risks. We want him to take care of the ball. Absolutely. That is goal number one. But we are trying to create more explosives. We're trying to distribute the ball down the field. Some refreshing talk, I think, there from Billy Napier, being able to say, hey, this was what we want from our quarterback. This is the next step. This is what's going to make us better. All right, let's get on to it. And well, you know what? We'll go through some notes. That's where we'll go to the next step. I'll try and weave it into the players we're talking about at the time. Let's go through the scrimmage. Graham Mertz all throughout camp as well, so far. Complete control of this offense. Has been pushing the ball down the field, from what I can gather from multiple sources out there. And also, the return, well, not really return, getting Chimere Dike fully available was limited in the first part of spring. But when Dike came back, I think his first practice may have been last Saturday, or no, at least his biggest impact. I can't remember what day he came back. I think it was after the team came back from spring break, if I remember off the top of my head. But anyway, DK comes back, and it was an immediate, you heard Trey Wilson and I talk about it a little bit last episode of Gators Breakdown. DK was an immediate threat down the field. And going into the scrimmage, it wasn't just down the field, but back shoulder throws, timing throws to DK. Mertz and DK have something already. We know they were at Wisconsin together for both of probably their better seasons 2 years ago, but now they're in Gainesville together instead of Madison, Wisconsin. And as we now hear, there's a little bit of connection there. The connection from Wisconsin is kind of just blended over into Florida right now. So it has been down the field. Now, I don't think DK is going to be a consistent downfield threat. That's not his game. He can be. I think he's more of a, you know, intermediate catch and run type of guy. But the connection there, you know, he can be a downfield threat, just not a consistent one. But also the timing throws, the relationship between him and Graham, I think that can go a long way. So out of the scrimmage, that was a big-time connection. Mertz, DK, Mertz last year with Wilson. So you think those are probably the top two options. You know, K-Jack going to be there. That was the top three receivers for Florida in the scrimmage, your starting receiver set. DK, Wilson, K-Jack. But, you know, I think before the end, I think we'll need a Burke, a Mizell to be, if this offense is going to take that next step, that consistent downfield threat that we're talking about. But for now, there is a threat there with DK, and that was on display. I think it was a 40-yard pass, if I remember right, in the scrimmage from DK. It was around the 40-yard mark. For a big play between Mertz and DK. So Mertz in control all spring long. I put it on Twitter the other day. I'll give my defensive one in just a second. But the player I've heard most about in a positive way is Graham Mertz on the offensive side of the ball, complete control of this Gator offense. Let's move to the heralded five-star quarterback DJ Lagway. Probably getting his wake-up call just a little bit in the last week of spring practice. Graham Mertz, look, there's no quarterback controversy. There never was going to be in spring practice, as much as we're all excited for DJ Lagway. He's going to play a big role, I think, this fall. But I think having the freshman moments the last week or so, still a big threat to throw the ball down the field, still a threat with his legs, bootleg situations. But right now, I think probably kind of swimming for the first time as – look, you expect this. I mean, it's not going to be all smooth sailing right from the get-go. You're going to have some growing pains. Last week or so probably been that way for DJ Lagway. But Billy Napier did say after the scrimmage, first of all, I would say he's impressed me with his ability to learn and retain information. Picks it up really quickly. His ability to take it from meeting room to walk through and then to do it in practice setting. Today was really good for him. He had to play the situations as they arose throughout the scrimmage. I think the next big step for him is the game management piece. I actually asked him on the field today, quote, did you play poker growing up? Did you actually play cards growing up? If you play Texas Hold'em, you get a 3 and a 4 and you fold your cards and you go on to the next hand. He obviously didn't play poker, growing up, but sometimes you got dealt a bad hand and you got to learn how to play the next hand. Play the next play, managing the situation, thinking of your decision making relative to the game and the team within that setting. I think he's done a really good job in a practice setting, but today was new for him. Every day is a new learning experience for him, but he's a quick learner and he did a lot of good today. I think he made some plays with his feet, played with the twos most of the day. I think that's where he's at. I think he's got physical talent. He's picked it up quickly. And now it's just about the game management piece next. So there we go. Yeah, DJ Lagway, there's going to be the growing pains. No concern, no issue of hearing you might be struggling in the last week or so. It's expected. There's nothing that scares me about hearing, oh, he might be struggling a little bit. He's going to. Everybody does. And he's got a great quarterback to learn from. Florida's not having to rely on him a whole lot. It's A-OK that DJ Lagway, you grow from those things. You learn from those things. So Billy Napier's getting that. And look, I know a lot of you out there, this is no surprise either. Not saying you're out there expecting DJ Lagway to not have any issues. Of course, it's part of the game. It's part of the game. Can't wait to see how Florida uses him. I still think he's going to be a huge part of what Florida does on offense in the fall. But, yeah, I mean, as far as, you know, the quarterback situation goes, I think you have to like where Florida's at right now, halfway through spring practice, what you have in Mertz, what you could potentially have in Lagway, pair that together. And it sounds like Billy Napier's pretty happy as well of where Florida's at. So, hey, plenty more to get into, and we'll hear more from what Billy Napier had to say, and we'll go through some more intel updates from the spring game. But hey, look, guys, a couple of weeks, like I said, we're halfway through spring practice, and as many of you already know, the Orange and Blue game is brought to you by Florida Victorious on April 13th, and part of that is an exclusive Victorious member benefit. Florida Victorious will host an exclusive autograph signing for its members with head coach Billy Napier and Gator football players following the game. If you're already a member, you get there. You can buy, for $30, you can buy a pass to go on the field as well through Florida Victorious. All you got to do is go to the game, and you can meet and greet your favorite players, get their autographs. Look, now's a great time to sign up at Florida Victorious. Link is in the description. There's that $25 a month level, as you can also get access to the message board that includes insider practice notes from Gaines Vegas. He should have his scrimmage notes up soon as well. So, look, it's a no-brainer to help support the players, access the players. Guys, we've nailed the interviews here on Gators Breakdown the last few months, and that's because of Florida Victorious. We've had Graham Mertz, Trey Wilson, Treyon Webb, Noel Portnyagin. Great interviews the last couple of months, all thanks to Florida Victorious. So look, guys, I'm not trying to shame you into joining. I know it's tough out there economic-wise. If that's part of it, okay, you know, you live your life. You take care of you first. But if you got some spare money, and I know paying players and all that is not on the top of the list for many of you out there, but it does make a difference. You get benefits too. You get the access here on Gators Breakdown with the interviews. There's some special things coming up at Florida Victorious with some players as well. And look, it's the game. It's the game right now. That's NIL is the game. To get players, to retain players, to grow a roster, you can do so through Florida Victorious. Now's a great time to do it. You get benefits as well, access to players, all that good stuff. Get 20% off your first month using promo code GatorsBD when you sign up. Link is in the description to join Florida Victorious. All right, let's keep it going. Offensive line continuity. Let's go into the offensive line a little bit. And maybe this is why Graham Mertz has been able to hit some of the balls down the field. Billy Napier goes on to say, yeah, quote, yeah, the pocket's been cleaner. I think that's one of the bright spots so far. The length on the edge has just been the major difference maker. I think the ability to the two portal tackles, Devin and Brandon, have done a great job, and they're getting quality work because of Cam and Austin being banged up, right? So that forces Fletcher and Caden, Fletcher Westfall, the true freshman, Caden Jones as well in his second year, to get into the action with the twos, and they've done a great job. So you're out there with the first and second group, and you're 6'7", 6'7", 6'8", 6'7" and a half, you know we're just much better on the edges, and you get Austin and Cam back in the summer. So, yeah, Jake and Najee and Damian obviously have experience. Bryce Lovett has been a bright spot. He's developed nicely. He's been one of the more impressive young linemen. Christian Williams is doing good things. Roderick Kearney shows some position flexibility, being able to play center and guard. So Rob's in a good job with that group. You know, we've added some quality players, and I think John, in just a short amount of time, Coach DeCosters, helped our group improve. Man, I hope. I don't think it is. Billy Napier talking that glowingly. I mean, let's go back to before spring practice. And we discussed it. Billy Napier in coaching clinics saying we had guards playing tackles last year. And we've heard Billy Napier, I think, already a few times this spring hammer the fact home we have some length on the edge. Our tackle spots, us going and hitting the transfer portal is going to make a huge difference because of what we've done at tackle. We have players that can play tackle. We have players that fit playing tackle. And he just measured them, 6'6", 6'7", 6'8". I mean, Farta does have some length there. And you have to like what you're hearing from the head man himself. Look, I know it's spring practice. All this is coach speak. That's where we're at right now. Yeah, but at the same time, they're speaking pretty glowingly about this group. And I think a lot of it comes from the realization of where they were at last year and having Damian George play out of place. We call it just necessity. Well, that necessity is not there anymore. The necessity was go to hit the transfer portal and bring in some offensive tackles. And that's what they've done. Now, it will be a better offensive line because of that. I don't know the ceiling. The ceiling may not be great, but I know if they stay healthy, I'm confident the floor is much higher. I will say that right now. I've heard pretty good things about the tackle so far. You know, it's still early on. As far as the scrimmage goes, the defensive line, and look, this should be expected, is getting the better of the offensive line right now. But think about how deep Florida is up front on the defensive line and the steps that we think they take to transfer portals with Joey Sikeman, Cam Jackson last year. And we're all excited for Kelby Collins and LJ McCray and TJ Searcy. I mean, I think we think the potential of the defensive line should outshine the offensive line, at least early on, right? So hearing the defensive line getting the better of the offensive line, that's kind of where it's supposed to be right now. And hearing that through the first scrimmage up until this point as well, not a huge surprise, probably the way it should be. But I do like the floor of this group. I do think the ceiling is higher. Can they reach it? I'm not sure. But I think what Florida was able to do, and now with these reps in spring, I'll hit this point one more time. I've hit it to death the last couple of weeks, but the injuries, I think, will really benefit Florida here. You know, does Austin Barber even get his job back? And that's not a shot at him or anything, but Devin Manuel coming in with some SEC experience at Arkansas. He started at left tackle today. Najee Harris at left guard. Jake Slaughter at center, right guard Damian George, and right tackle Brandon Crenshaw-Dixon. That was your starting five. That's a pretty good group. Need to stay healthy. But at the same time, those tackles getting all these reps. So Cam Waits, even though he was on the team last year, hobbled with some injuries right now. Probably will miss the rest of spring. Austin Barber, very limited this spring. I don't know if those guys get those job backs, but I think they're pretty good depth pieces at the most. Brandon Crenshaw-Dixon, to me, he's starting on the right side. That's set in stone to me. I do think that left side's got some competition to it when Austin Barber returns. He wasn't great last year at left tackle. I think he can grow. I think he can develop. But he's missing some of that development time right now. Wouldn't not shock me if, even though Austin Barber is returning, Devin Manuel might be the starter when it's all said and done. Hey, I like it. It's competition. That group needs all the help they can get. On the progress, Billy Napier did go on to say for the offensive line, some of them a little better than I thought, to be quite honest with you. To see all the young kids, I think we were right in the evaluation process. I guess is what I would say. We took some height, length, developmental players, and I think they're going to be good players for the Gators. And look, I've said this before. You've had this two offensive line coach system. I can give you as much as I don't want to. You guys know I don't make many excuses. As much as disappointed as I was in the offensive line play last year, if you're keeping this two offensive line coach system and you recruited the way you've recruited, not at the elite level, or nowhere near the elite level in offensive line, that means you're going to have to bank on development. And you know what? We won't see that development till probably year three of the offensive line. We had to hit the transfer portal for tackles. No doubt about it. But that interior group, that is really, really, really based on the development of the two offensive line coach system and now being your third year. If it's going to pay off, it needs to be this year. And Billy Napier said, hey, look, I think we've hit on it. I think we've hit on the height, length, developmental players. I think they're going to be good players for the Gators. Well, year three is when we got to see it. If you are banking on experience, year three is when we got to see it. So you're Najee Harris, you're Jake Slaughter, you're Roderick Kearney. That's the three guys I'm looking at. That's the three guys that have been in the program for at least a couple years. Jake Slaughter even longer, but Harris getting some playing time last year. Kearney was a developmental player, needed to get his body in shape. His second year, yeah, those guys need to contribute. And they need to be plus players for Florida. All right, let's go to the other side of the ball. Well, you know what? We'll keep it on offensive right quick because this will be in relation to the offensive line. The run game. And the Gators, Montrell Johnson, no surprise what he's been able to do. Had about a 10-yard run for a touchdown today in the scrimmage. But I'm telling you, the young guys really stepping up. Treyon Webb has had a really good spring camp. And standout players as well for young guys, Jaden Ball, Kanan Daniels. Those two freshman running backs, Florida could go four deep at running back. From everything I'm hearing, from what happened at the scrimmage, from what's happening in Oklahoma drills, from what's happening up to this point in spring camp, Florida hit on those two running backs. Now, I still got the same question. Is there a home run threat? There probably will be. Who's that going to be? Kanan Daniels is probably one I look at. But both those guys, tough physical runners, bowling ball mentality, hard to tackle, hard to bring down. Those guys, we got to wait and see. Can Cam Carroll come back? Can he be the player we thought he might be last year? Still dealing with an injury, still very limited. Florida will get him back in the summer for the fall. Can he be a reliable player coming back from that injury? Florida being very cautious with him right now. But if he can't, I think there's still a lot of confidence in two true freshman running backs. And look, Billy Napier, we know he will play him. Montrell Johnson played a lot as a freshman at Louisiana. Trevor Etienne played a lot as a freshman. Now, Treyon Webb didn't have to because you had Etienne and Johnson. But, you know, you won't be in a situation I think you have to unless some more injuries pop up. I mean, Montrell Johnson, like, he's not going to be a workhorse for this Florida offense, but given this is his final year, no doubt about it, this is his final year in Gainesville unless something goes wrong. I think Billy Napier will give him every opportunity to be the guy. I don't know if that quote-unquote means workhorse. Treyon Webb will get his share of carries. These freshman running backs will get their share of carries. I think there's a lot to like here. I do think there might be Johnson and Etienne have been pretty even in number of handoffs and in a lot of the stats the last couple of years. I think Montrell will probably be, I don't know if it'll be far and away, but he'll be the clear number one back. But I do think Florida's got some options. I think Florida can get creative in the run game. I like what I'm hearing from that group. All right, let's go to the other side of the ball. One player who has shined so far this spring, and especially today in the scrimmage, tackling machine. And you guys know, if you followed me long enough here in the 904, I cannot be any more excited about linebacker Grayson Howard. Really good scrimmage. Head in the game. True linebacker. We've been wishing Florida to have one. We wanted him as a recruit. We got him as a transfer. Having a good camp so far. Had a really good scrimmage. Billy Napier went on to say, it's been great. He's taking advantage of the reps that are available because of Shamar and Derek, Shamar James, Derek Wingo. He's taking advantage because of those guys being out. He's one of the most productive players out there today. I think when we look back at his stats, there was a lot of production for him today. He's a good communicator. He's got an edge to him. He's big. He's long. I think he cares about the place. He came back. There's something about Florida kids. I think there's a connection to the place and a pride there. He cares about Florida. He does. I'm telling you, that's one reason he came, quote-unquote, came back, like Billy Napier said. He came back to the state of Florida. He wanted to be close to home. He wanted to be close to Jacksonville. Florida was his only choice. Hitting transfer portal, all that. It was Florida. And I'm excited for it. I'm excited to see him in orange and blue. And it may be even more crucial going back to the scrimmage. Manny Nunnery with a groin injury. We'll see how serious that is. So Florida's getting a little bit beat up at the linebacker spot. We just mentioned Shamar James, Derek Wingo there from Billy Napier. We know those guys are limited. Now maybe taking another hit right here with Manny Nunnery. Miles Graham being out for the rest of spring as well. So a little bit of injury concern at the linebacker spot. Have to just power through it right now. But even more reps for one, Pup Howard. Maybe, we'll see. We'll see where that goes. I don't think Jaden Robinson, another linebacker, of course. There was some report he might be injured as well, but then I kind of saw that redacted. So maybe something to keep an eye out on. But Pup Howard, I think, is going to live up. I think Florida wants healthy. There's a lot to like about the linebacker spot. They got to get healthy first. I've seen Shamar James out there in the, running around, of course, not doing too much as far as physicality goes, but going through some of the drills with the linebacker group. But long as healthy, they're good. I think they'll be good. They'll be a much better plus than they were. Now, still relying, I think, for the best of this linebacker group, you still rely on a bunch of young names. Well, Pup Howard's only in his second season overall, his first season at Florida. We want to see Miles Graham, Aaron Childs in the summer as well. Jaden Robinson in his second year. So I think for the best of this group to shine through, it's going to have to rely on the young guys. See where it all ends up. There's a lot to like. All right, let's wrap it up here. Billy Napier does talk about the defensive back transfers and improving the secondary. There, let me get it out. Billy Napier did go to say, the key deal is the experience piece, right? When you look at all three of the DBs that we added through the portal, a ton of experience. And then Aaron Gates was banged up last year, so we get him back. He's healthy, very talented player. Devin Moore, he's finally healthy. He's got a presence out there. And throw that in there with Jason Marshall back, and then all these rookies that played last year, Jordan, Sharif, Bryce, Chakeem, Didi, I always hate leaving somebody out there. But overall, that's a deeper group, and I think we've added some good experience. I was pleased with the way they tackled today. Let me repeat that, everybody. I was pleased with the way we tackled today. In particular, those guys did a good job getting the runner to the ground. We need to play better back there, right? And I think Will's done a good job, and I think we're a work in progress, but I like what I see. Music to our ears. I can't sing. Don't ask me to sing. But that was some music right there. That's what I want to hear. Look, unsolicited for Billy Napier to come out and say something like that, I don't think that's coach speak. I think this is something that he actually saw in the scrimmage. These are things that I've heard up to this point in the scrimmage. This might be the most improved group right now on this team, and that's the defensive secondary. And we've known for years, the issues at the safety spot. Now I'm going to go ahead and put it out there. Going back to what I put on Twitter a couple of weeks ago, and I mentioned the standout player on offense so far has been Graham Mertz. Well, it might be a surprise on defense. Defense, that's been DJ Douglas, the transfer from Tulane at back there at the safety spot. When I get practice notes from the quote-unquote insider practice notes, look, we're not trying to share too much. But the general thought of DJ Douglas being a big-time plus player for Florida right now has come up almost every single practice so far. And it was apparent in the scrimmage again. DJ Douglas has been one of the best players so far on the defense for this. And look, that is a surprise. I'm not going to lie. Jordan Castile has been a little limited, so it's been Asa Turner and DJ Douglas back there at the safety spot. And it's been, you know, he brings a physical presence to the safety spot. Now, I think when we hear things like, hey, this group tackled better, DJ Douglas was kind of known for that coming in anyway. And look, that wasn't a whole lot to know about him because he come from Tulane. And Tulane's won a whole lot of ball games the last couple of years. DJ Douglas has been a big part of that. But he's been a player that I have heard almost every single practice as a standout. Now, look, I know some of you may take it another way, saying, okay, well, I didn't expect that. If we're hearing a whole lot from him, I don't know what that means for the steps of this defense. I'm telling you it's a positive. I could be completely wrong, but I think when it's all said and done, I think this that might play out on the field that way. DJ Douglas, this is somebody, and this is from multiple sources, of a player that is standing out. DJ Douglas is one of those. So, Billy Napier mentioned, of course, there's a lot of good experience back there through the guys in the transfer portal, through guys that played a whole lot last year. You mix it all together, I don't think it would be a surprise if this, and the coaching change. Will Harris, of course, and look, I don't know how much of an upgrade, if it would be an upgrade from Corey Raymond. We'll see, but I think the energy is better in that group with a younger coach, a coach that may not just rest on his laurels a bit, somebody that I think connects a good bit with him. Look, Corey Raymond could go off and go have good years at LSU again. Certainly he could. That doesn't mean it could not be a benefit from to move on with him and get somebody who may have a better relationship with the coaching staff, may have a better relationship with players. So maybe somebody who just communicates in a different way that is more beneficial. Not saying he can't, but maybe just a different voice was needed. And I know we said that last year about him taking over the whole secondary, and that would be a big plus for that. We talked ourselves into that. I was part of that. Now I'm going to try and talk myself into a different voice might be needed. A different approach might be needed. And given all the experience, given all the pieces, Florida returns back there in the secondary, with Will Harris leading the way, it can be a positive for the Gators back there. We can see that improvement we've been waiting to see, especially at the safety spot, the physicality at that spot. I mean, physicality both ways, corners and safeties. We saw Florida get targeted over and over again, the corners not being able to tackle. It's got to get fixed. But yeah, transfers, those safeties, I think it's really, really going to help Florida on that back end. Competition can breed success. That's what I think we're going to see back there. All right, there we go. Overall, let's go. Defense won the way, won the day. No surprise, as I said. Kind of expected there. A.D. Jean did not take part in the scrimmage. Nursing a hamstring injury. Kind of happened early on in spring camp so far. Expected to be back pretty soon to full participant, but did not participate in the spring. Hopefully another player that we do hear about as spring comes along. About three interceptions, I think, for the defense today. Josiah Davis is another name that keeps coming up at that safety star spot for the Gators. So Sharif Denson, you know, maybe coming into spring was thought to be the guy. Aaron Gates is coming in now, too, as you heard Billy Napier say, kind of coming back from injury last year. And then Josiah Davis, who had a pick in the scrimmage of DJ Lagway. So Florida, pretty good competition maybe in that star nickel role. And what was the other one? Let me see. Devin Moore picking off. He picked off Lagway, and Josiah Davis picked off Mertz. So you heard Billy Napier say there were some turnovers. There, look. That's the beauty and the curse of spring football. So the offense does something bad, the defense benefits. And if the defense does something bad, the offense benefits. So, you know, take it how you want. I can't tell you how you want to take it. So hopefully you hear, hey, the defense had a good day today. And tomorrow you hear the offense had a good day. And you keep maybe hearing that on repeat, back and forth. But that's some of the other notes. I'm trying to think here. Anything else? Kind of good position by position. We just kind of did that there. Not much more. Probably the play of the day. Billy Napier did mention it. Tyreek Norwood walk-on, a defensive lineman dropped into coverage, got an interception. The team went crazy because of, you know, it's tough being a walk-on. And I think Billy Napier even said he had to fight back from an injury as a walk-on. And the team went crazy for it. So you hear something good, you know, some good news as well from a player that's going to get the reps, more reps now than he probably ever will. But being able to make a play, make an drop in the coverage, make an interception. And I don't know how the teams were broke up. I don't know how much they did one-on-ones, first team versus first team, offense, defense, first team versus second team, all that good stuff. I don't know the layout of the scrimmage. But more than likely, you know, if they're trying to make it easier for the first team offense, and you got somebody like Tyreek Norwood getting his little chance and dropping into coverage and making a play, okay, good for him. I mean, look, team camaraderie, you hope that, hearing how happy the team was for him, but that's part of spring ball. And Billy Napier talking about that walk-on program and trying to build it up to a point. He says he likes where they're at right now with that. But, hey, look, it's good to hear Norwood getting in. I believe that was against Clay Millen. So it probably were, you know, it probably was down the depth chart a bit when he was out there. But good for him to get noticed, make a big play. And that's about it. That'll wrap up right there. We'll wrap it up right there. After the Gators' first scrimmage, you heard from Billy Napier, all he had to say, insights there of the kind of day it was there for the Gators, and we're going to continue it on. Spring practice. Will Miles and I will be back live Monday night. We'll get back on our Monday night 8:30 show. We will be live. Everybody try and tune in. Remember that we'll be back live. Will and I, we'll probably look into the edge group a little, maybe the running back group a bit as well. And since it's been a while since we've gotten together, we'll probably, if everybody join us right there on YouTube, we'll probably take some Q&A a little bit as well so far through spring practice. So it should be a fun episode when Will and I get back together on Monday. But that'll do it for this episode of Gators Breakdown. I am your host, David Waters. You can find me on social media at GatorDave_SEC. Guys and girls out there, thank you for joining me on this episode of Gators Breakdown.